Christ in the Psalms. Chapter 2. The Death, Burial and Resurrection, and Ascension Psalms. Psalm 22 is known as the Calvary or Golgotha Psalm. Psalm 23 is the Burial and Resurrection Psalm, followed by the Ascension Psalm in Chapter 24. Psalms 23 and 24 also reflect the Second Advent. Psalm 22 begins with the piercing cry that Christ in agony screamed as his heart broke from the burden of sin. My God, why have you forsaken me? It ends with, it is finished. Here we are shown the sufferings and death of Christ. Psalm 22 is the crucifixion psalm. In it are recorded the thoughts of Christ's mind during the time he hung on the cross, particularly from the time when he felt forsaken of God until he exclaimed, it is finished. This psalm ends in triumph. The last few words come from one word in the original, finished. This word is one of the last spoken by the crucified Christ on Calvary. It is finished. In Psalm 23, probably the best known psalm in the world, we think of Jesus as the shepherd. But he was also the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The 23rd Psalm is a picture of Christ the Lamb of God depending on his shepherd. Every lamb needs a shepherd. Jesus was no exception. Read the psalm with this in mind, Christ, the Lamb, his Father, the Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. The reason we can walk this path is because Jesus walked it before us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He was comforted by God's rod and staff, both discipline and guidance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm must have been a very precious promise to the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked this earth as a mortal man. In verse 4 we see the faith of Jesus. His feelings were that God had separated from him, but he says, I know that you are with me. I know that you are going through this with me. Then in verse 6, we are shown the idea of the resurrection when he says that he knows he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His faith was based on the word of God, that God would bring him through both death and the grave. We have evidence that a dead Christ was more powerful than a living devil. It was impossible for the devil to keep Christ in his prison house, the tomb. Christ now has the keys of Hades and of death. He took away the keys from the devil and unlocked the grave in behalf of the human race. The grave was the devil's prison, but Christ burst the tomb. The devil could not keep him there. Christ demonstrated that even in that place of death he was stronger than the devil. How much more now the power of the living Christ is an encouragement to us. Christ demonstrated that he had power over death and the grave by defying death. He did so by entering into its realm. He took death upon himself by laying down his life, then taking it up again by his Father's authority. This was because of his sinless life. Sin spent its entire force upon him, and it did not mar him in the least. It did not make a single blot on his character. His life was sinless, and because of this, the grave and death could have no power over him. That same life is given to us when we believe on the Son of God. There is victory in this belief, victory over the grave, and victory now in this present life. We give our sins to the Lord our Savior, and we take his sinless life in their place. I shall not want. All of Christ's needs were met. There is a difference between needs and desires. His desire, however strong, was never allowed to dominate his submission to the Father's ways. He always submitted his desire to the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine be done, was the practice of his life. His needs were always taken care of, but all of his desires were not. A pastoral scene of green pastures and still waters follows in this psalm. Christ was provided for with both temporal and spiritual needs and daily rest, nourishment, and grace. His life was one of peace and contentment in the midst of extreme temptation and suffering. In taking upon himself the sin of the world, he knows how hard it is for the transgressor. Yet he also knew that the paths of righteousness were and are the ways of peace. Thy rod and thy staff. In these symbols we have the assurance of protection, guidance, comfort, and discipline. The rod was used to protect the sheep from predators such as the bear and the lion. It was also used to discipline and to correct the sheep. The staff or crook was used to guide and to instruct as well as to correct. When a sheep needed to be pulled into line from going the wrong way or from going astray, the shepherd placed the staff around the neck of that sheep and gently pulled it back into the path. It was used to reach out to guide the sheep and urge it forward in the right direction. With both the rod and the staff, the sheep were protected and disciplined to obey, so that in times of danger and stress they would be safe under the guidance of the shepherd. The sheep were so disciplined that they would obey the voice of the shepherd in any time of trouble. So it was with Jesus. He was disciplined for Calvary from birth. It took discipline and obedience for him to die. Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Christ could not keep himself alive. The devil could not keep him dead. A dead Christ is stronger than a living devil. The devil could not keep him in the grave. Christ died the equivalent of the death of the eternally damned. He died for us, with us, as us. And because Jesus went through that valley of death, you may have assurance that he will never leave you nor forsake you in life or in death. Therefore you shall fear no evil. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here the shepherd sheep imagery gives way to a banquet scene. Again, provision and safety are pictured. More than survival after the walk through the valley of death is here. Triumph is revealed. He is the resurrection and the life. Next come the oil and the overflowing cup. These awaited Christ's return to heaven after his ascension. In the Old Testament, eating and drinking at someone's table was a special time. It signified acceptance, respect, and honor. At times it was a culminating symbol of a covenant. This was experienced by Moses, the priests, and the 70 elders when they went up into the mount with God during the time Moses was given God's law which he taught the people. So it was with Jesus when he went to heaven. Not only was he accepted, respected, and honored, he was worshipped by the angels. The overflowing cup and the oil are symbols of an inauguration ceremony. After Christ was raised from the dead, he remained on earth 40 more days. Then 10 days after Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent, symbolized by fire, to the waiting disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. This was celebrated 50 days following the Passover. Pentecost was the feast day that celebrated the giving of the law to Israel at Mount Sinai. But more than that, this particular Pentecost was heaven's announcement that Jesus had been inaugurated in heaven as man's high priest and only mediator. The ceremony was symbolized by anointing the high priest in the Jewish economy. It presents to us the anointing of Aaron and what it signified. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. The condition of unity that psalm depicts was seen on the day of Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Both oil and fire symbolizes the activity of the Holy Spirit. Oil makes for smooth associations and relationships of working parts, while fire indicates an all-consuming desire to further God's gospel and work. Both oil and fire are needed in God's work on earth. The ceremonies in heaven completed, the Holy Spirit was sent to Christ's waiting disciples. Their attention was directed to heaven and to Christ and his work in behalf of mankind. Their testimony ever after was of Christ raised from the grave, of Christ ascended to heaven, and of Christ crucified. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word translated follow means to pursue. What was true of Christ is true of those who follow him. God led him, followed him, and pursued him while he was a man on the earth. His mercy surrounds him today at the mercy seat in heaven. And God's mercy surrounds you and me. It goes before you and follows you. Enemies from within and from without may, and do, pursue, but God and his mercy and grace are much greater. He pursues you even more than all your enemies put together. Psalm 24 depicts Christ's ascension to the New Jerusalem in heaven. He is accompanied by a choir of angels. Beginning with verse 7, you may listen to the heavenly choir singing antiphonally. Part of the choir sings, followed by a brief silence, then another part of the choir answers. This was the manner in which the Jews approached Old Jerusalem feast days as they traveled, singing the songs of Zion. As they neared Jerusalem, they sang this particular psalm. Evidently, the song angels would sing as they escorted Christ back to heaven when they came to the gates of the New Jerusalem. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in, sang the entourage of angels as they approached the gates of heaven. Verse 8. Who is this King of glory? Sang the awaiting angels at the gates of heaven. The escorting angels replied, The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Verse 10. Again the question is asked, Who is this King of glory? And the reply, The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. These verses provide the background of Christ's ascension to heaven where he began his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. This was preparation for the great enthronement and celebration that would be held after Christ entered the gates of the city. What rejoicing must have taken place at that time. This may very well be a description of events that will occur again after the second advent, when all the representatives of the universe travel to heaven to meet Christ and his glorified saints rescued from earth. Again the angels will break into rapturous singing. We will hear music we've never before heard, and our hearts will thrill through and through as we take part in the singing and as we listen to the thanksgiving and the glory and the praise given to the Father and to the Son.